Highways and Byways. Agus fáilte bheith isteach agaoine uisle don na cádóilíní sa thairis, you're very welcome indeed to the Wednesday programme. Hard to imagine that half the week is over already, and looking back on the weekend, it might have been indeed last year. I know I spent a wonderful afternoon on Good Friday in the morning as well, up the Wicklow Mountains down there below Glendalough, and I thought looking down from the blue sky almost down into that valley, looking down the Round Tower, Switzerland has nothing on us, with snow on the peaks and a blue sky. Of course, how often do we get that here? And we're back today, of course, as I promised you yesterday, back in Drumintee in South Armagh. We're up there with Michael J. Murphy, the folklorist, and I'm taking him back over the preceding few days to Burren in County Down, which he also knows. Do the people of Burren and the atmosphere of Burren have anything in common with Drumintee?
Oh, yes. Oh, good Lord. Well, they were very strong in folk tradition, because I spent about 10 very happy years there in Burren and that area. And I remember one particular Cayley house, how could you forget it? Pedder Barry's in Corrigs, in Burren. And Pedder would always assemble people, you know, he'd be interested in, he knew that I'd be interested in this. Well, I suppose I collected about 20 volumes of material out there, alone in that area. But I used a bicycle, of course, and I lived in Clontifley, so I'd cross the hill and go out to Pedder's. Well, we never left it before 2 and 3 in the morning. In a winter's night, we'd be dead about 6 or 7. Pedder's sister was there. There was tea made. Stories all the way. We had no tape recorders. I'd write it.
What did the old people think of you writing down their words?
Oh, at the beginning. Oh, no, they didn't like it at all, do you know? Oh, no. Actor thought I was a bit odd. That meant eccentric. Mm. Even in Tyrone, they used to say, I should God help poor Murphy, God help the poor fellow so he doesn't know what he's doing, you know? That was true. But when I was collecting around Burren, you say, I could find very many extensive echoes from this area. When I was too young to understand it. And storytellers like Dan Rooney of Lurgan County, he was very good too. And Burren and the area outside Hilltown, along with this Drumintee parish, Mullaban, Killeavy, Clinchagora, that's between us and the Meath, were refuge areas. You see, you've only to look at the... You see the hills there? The fields were pushed up into the mountain till you just couldn't make any more fields in it. The various plantations and pogroms pushed people in here, not only from the north, but from Louth. The big lands there, mid Louth, they came in here. I remember now outside Hilltown, this would be 1944, the war was on. I remember the British Army were practicing shelling up in the mountains. But I walked that way with an ash plant, you see, no bicycle. And I used to walk in a town, come to a town land, I think it was Goord outside there. And this old man used to be sitting on what we'd call a summer seat. Now, a summer seat is simply the ordinary dry stone wall, or ditch, as we say, covered with sods, and shaded by hawthorn. I'd speak to him, and he just looked up and he'd say, yes, nice day. I didn't want to stop the old man. But this day we were blocked anyhow by... We were blocked by the army maneuvering under order. And he recognised my voice. So, I got speaking to him then. And he said, I recognise your voice too. And he says, I think you're not from this part of the country. No, I said, I'm from a place called Drumintee in South Armagh. And what's your name? I said, Murphy. He says, my name is Murphy, John Murphy. And he was very interested in the GAA too. But he began to tell me the story, and he had a written record from his grandfather that way outside Scarve in that country, it was a minor... You'd call it a minor plantation, a pogrom. Mm-hmm. And they all set out, he said. It was written in this. to move. They knew that there was an acceptance here. Do you know, and either here or Southdown. And they didn't know what sort of a country it was, and they said, we'll split up, and whichever you strike the best area, let us know. And that was okay. And I got the family names. Your own name, Farrell. The same, you repeat the same names here.
Oh, you're talking to there now.
This is John Farrell, Carrickplaud, Drumonty. You got those. You got Murphy's. All the, Brannan, as we'd say. Repeat the same names here he had. And he said to me then, you said you were from Drumonty. Yeah. Oh. Well, man. Did you ever know anybody in Uri called Susan Campbell? Yeah, I didn't. I said I heard my father talk about it. She had what we'd call an eating house. That was a restaurant would be set up for a fair day, you see, not a regular restaurant. That's right. Ah, that was a cousin of mine. I was up, he says, in York Parish at the funeral of an old woman, was a friend of ours called Susan Murphy. She was Jordan to her own name. I said, that was my grandmother.
That's true. Course.
That's where she was raised, you see. She was the daughter of William Jordan, the scribe, the poet and scribe. And my father lived with him. This is where he had some of the Gaelic with him. Yeah. Thanks, Jordan.
What do you think, Michael, have you yourself learned over the years from all you've collected? What has it meant to you?
Well, a tremendous sense of satisfaction that this thing has been preserved. Do you know? That it would have gone, do you know? I'm not trying to eulogize myself. Mm. And the very fact that nowadays the younger generation are very, very interested in it, and it's there because they come to me here and they come to me in Cavan, and I think even around Bourne and I had something there. They're interested in the folk traditions of their area. What did their forefathers tell and all this?
So you think we won't lose it, Michael?
Oh, not now. No, it's down, you see. Better than all the tape recorder because they can hear the actual voice. Yes, they are very, very interested in it now. And all through Cavan and County Leitrim, people know that it was ignored that time when I went. And a man like, for instance, Michael Francis Flynn of Ballinaglare up above Loch Allen, since they knew that I was going to Michael and recording, the young people are coming in. In groups, for him to tell what they told me, and they're all interested.
I was down in County Waterford, a place called Sleave Goa, a very ancient place recently, and there's the story of Petticoat Luce.
Yes.
She used to haunt along the roads at night, a woman.
Yes.
Did you have any characters of that up around here? Ghosts who were maybe violent in themselves?
No, but this place where we're sitting right here now, Macrisis, was McGuill's, was one of the most famous ghosts in Ireland, in it. It almost provoked a lawsuit. McGuill had this long thatched house, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, just behind us here, along the foot of Slieve Gullion, excuse me, there's a road goes from Carlingford Lock to Galway and Mayo. Mm-hmm. I think it was an ecclesiastical road because I found out four shankles along it. And up to the outbreak of the First World War in 1914, the Western migrants going to the harvest in England walked this road. And the people that I knew, the old people, could remember them with the broad black hat and the homespun. Now, there were no women, just men, sons, nephews, and they slept in groups. The road is Barrowurich, that's Mary's road, surely. And when they used to come to this area, they were hesitant because they were their understanding they were in the Black North, where it's all orange men, you know, the most rebel part in the North. Where it's the other way. But then the people got to speak to them and they'd give them milk and everything, but they were still diffident. Now, they walked from Mayo. I traced the road out to Forkhill, where there was a friary, but beyond that, no, I didn't have time. They walked that in groups to Fathom. Armagh's a maritime county, you know. We touched the sea at Carlingford Lough. They boarded the boat at Fathom Locks going to Preston. Excuse me, made a bargain with the skipper and went ashore then and went into the hiring fairs in Kendal and were hired and worked. Then, when they had some money, Very rarely did they come back this way. They came through Greenower and Dundalk. Mm. Apparently this young fella got lost. You know, young fellas are young. It was all gold. He was supposed to have come this way, you know, trying to get onto the road, and he was waylaid and drowned in this. This is Mon River Bog down here. And this was the famous ghost that haunted this place. Anyhow, McGuill couldn't, he had business going, the pub and all, he couldn't stick it. And he let the business, good and bad, to a man called Farrelly from Dundalk. He was a married man with a young family. McGuill went over in Scotland. Farrelly took it over here, and his wife couldn't stay in it any longer than 1 week. This young fellow would appear, and as we'd say, car, you know, grimace, you see. So Farrelly was going to sue McGuill for not revealing this. I've checked this out now, and it's the documentary evidence is there. My father used to tell it. And if you need proof, to settle it anyhow. You see, this place was burned after an ambush in 22, special. This man's father was in it too, but that's the matter. And there were trees there, you see. And there was a man up the road called Peter Carney, inevitably Murphy. And he was a pavvy. A pavvy is a specialised peddler. Well, the Burden men would know all about pavvies, don't we? And he came home when this lawsuit was pending. Farrelly's wife and family had to leave and go to Dundalk, and he stayed on here. A priest was to come up. Priest did come up and carry out a ritual of exorcism, you see? But this man was in Forkhill, got a few drinks, came up the road, and my father remembers this, and he was telling me, threw off his coat, waistcoat, and all his money, watch and everything, and that's him, no pavvy would have a grand watch, do you know? Challenge the ghost out there. Come out and fight, you're the most unmanliest ghost in Ireland. Why don't you eat and drink your fill and let the decent man make a living? Come out and eat it, here he was at the road. That indicates, you know, even that wee folk anecdote. Incidentally, he walked up the road to his sister and she sobered him up, and when he realised what he'd done, he wouldn't come down for the coat. She had to stand on that instead.
And what became of the ghost?
Well, they settled it. And then it lay derelict, and then the McGuills came back, and then in 22, after the ambush, it was burned down, and it just a ruin until this McCreese took over. But it was a noted spot now, even from historic times. This William Jordan that I mentioned, my great-grandfather, and his brother, a priest up here called Father Finnegan, in the famine period, as we call it, which is a bloody misnomer. There was no famine. There was plenty of food in the country, you know. But it was taken out on the Round Guard. It was a proselytising centre at the Church of Ireland in Forkhill. Oh, Art Bennett denounces that in a very fierce poem. Do you know what I'm going? Well, they set up a kitchen of their own here. William Jordan, the brother, and Father Finnegan here of Drumontree. My grandmother, who lived to be 105, she remembered, and she said she was often sent up to those rocks, do you see, to pull bits of green weeds to supplement this porridge. Mm-hmm. She had an uncle who had a shop in Mill Street in Newry, and occasionally he could get some Indian meal, you see. And this, it was held out here. And then Parnell came, and Parnell addressed a big meeting from the garden up there. And Michael Collins stood here. Michael Collins was the MP for this area. And the signal is Ripley fired a lot of shots in the air.
History was here.
This was it, yes, yes. This was it.
The gently flowing rhythms there of Michael J. Murphy's conversation in Drumontree in South Armagh. We hope to go back to meet Michael J. later in the year, I suppose, when the days are longer and the weather is finer. But that was, mind you, a splendid Saturday afternoon just before I headed on to Mullabone.